So when did God start talking? If he's eternal, was there ever a time in the past where he said nothing? Because as soon as God says something, there you have the Son of God. So that's an interesting thought. Was there ever no word of God? Was he ever dumb? He sat there silently. Verse 10. Think about it. To the intent that now, to the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Amazing. So now, this is the end, you know, I think this goes back to what you were saying at the beginning. For this cause, I, Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ for you, Gentiles, to the intent that now, you know, again, he's talking about I, Paul, you know, he's describing himself, what he, this mystery and how, you know, to make all this known to the intent. Now, unto the principalities. The first things, arche, the powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, to the intent that now, to the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. At first it's almost like kind of difficult in my mind as far as maybe made known. The manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, I mean, it's clear what the general meaning is. I'm just trying to think how precisely that sentence is supposed to roll off the tongue. Are we supposed to know the principalities and powers in heavenly places? Are we to make those things known? Or he's making them known to us? To the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. By the church. That being dia, like by as in the sense by or through. It's the Greek preposition. So, in the heavenlies, and the heavenlies, to the principalities. In the tenth and now, to the principalities. I guess I keep reading it because I keep looking like, not sure I get that. Except that, let's look at back what he had said previously. You know, Christ is set in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power. And he says, he wants to bless us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. You know, he hath raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So this is the fourth reference to these heavenly places in the book of Ephesians. Maybe that means the elevation to which we are raised in Jesus. That now to the principalities and powers in heavenlies might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. That means to that extent. What was the... Now, maybe the word unto is a key here, because I want to make sure I understand what that means. And I don't usually like to rely on looking into the Greek, but sometimes, like, 2. Okay. So the principalities and power. I think that means in the sense of, as I just stated, according to the eternal purpose. I should probably rip out another translation at this point, but maybe you can do that and you can see how limited my knowledge really is. And you can find out better than I precisely what Paul meant by that. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness. You know, the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus, I know what that is. You know, he wants to bless us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. You know, he wants to gather together in one all things in Christ which are in the heavens and on the earth. There are probably more references to the heavens, actually. Yeah, actually, I am right. There's also the... He hath raised us up together and made us to sit in the heavenly places in Christ, etc., etc., etc. He wants us to enter in with boldness and access and confidence. Access is, it means admission. Like, you get in. Boldness. Which means all outspokenness, bluntness. You know, without any sort of this or that or the other. It's just, you could come directly to God. Boldly, don't think like, God, I'm here to tell you what's what. It just means you can approach God in a very direct manner. Frankly. Speaking frankly. I think it would be better than, you know, bold. It is bold. To speak frankly to God is bold. Because you probably ought to be like, oh God, you are so great, and I dare not speak to you because you are greater than anything I could ever imagine. I mean, the fact that we even pretend, I mean... That something so vile as a human being could have any sort of access to a holy God who even allows... Because God, if God hates sin, then you have to say, well, why does he even allow sin to exist? And the answer is, well, he's not going to let it exist for very long. But the fact that he even allows us this is awesome. And to raise us... You know, we're supposed to sit with Christ in his throne.